8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Oh, radio, radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast, whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
I'm Jess Beer for the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive, and I'm happy to introduce this selection from the archives of the Neighborhood Public Radio Project. This long-standing project brought temporary radio stations to galleries, storefronts, and even the 2008 Whitney Biennial, using a hyperlocal, collaborative, experimental, and totally uncensored approach to radio that was critical of National Public Radio, while also drawing inspiration from the early promise of public radio networks. In this selection, artist Michael Trigilio, in character as his alter ego, a vitriolic, common-sense political commentator named Michael Starve, hosting an episode of a call-in political talk show called The Starve Zone. Let's hear it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a fascist dictatorship.
There are far too many American haters making propaganda with the situation.
You've got to be kidding me. Come on.
Come on.
Welcome to the Starve Zone.
Welcome to the Starve Zone.
Michael Starve.
We're now living in an age of ideological demagoguery.
No, the people on the other side, they want to attack and attack and attack.
Welcome to the Starve Zone.
No spin.
No spin.
No bias.
No bias.
No nonsense.
Look, I just call it like I see it, America.
Welcome to the Starve Zone. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Starve of the Starve Zone here at Neighborhood Public Radio, 88.9 FM, broadcasting from Southern Exposure Gallery in San Francisco. It's Friday evening. It's we're doing our show. We're broadcasting from our show here, and we're thinking about the world, what's going on in the world today. We're thinking about what's going on in the news. We got all kinds of things to talk about. And the thing I want to open up to people listening on this 88.9 broadcast channel is you can give me a call. If you want to give me a call, we can talk about the news of the day. I'll give you the phone number. Call us here at Southern Exposure. It's 415-863-3079. You call me at 415-863-3079. And don't worry, you're not calling Forum with Michael Krasny, okay? You're not calling Neil Conan on Talk of the Nation. You're not going to get that kind of garbage. You're not calling the Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz, on NPR. You're not getting that kind of story, okay? You're going to call me, you're going to talk to me. All right, you're going to talk to someone who's common sense, someone who thinks about the world in a common sense way, someone who thinks about the issues of the day going on out there. All right, someone who could talk to you about Walter Benjamin or Marsha McLuhan, if that's what you want to talk about. We could talk about that. The medium is the message, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that what we're talking about here? The medium's the message, right? And we're here on Neighborhood Public Radio telling you the truth. Okay, and the thing that you need to know about the Starve Zone, I told you Wednesday, and I told you on Thursday, and I'm telling you today, is that you're not going to get the same kind of old drivel and old drool that you get from all the other radio stations. You're not going to get the same old garbage you get from all the TV stations, okay? You're going to get something you probably haven't heard before. And I'm a little worried about you. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to get sick. I don't want you to get nervous. I don't want to cause you any anxiety. All right? What I want you to do is just listen and try to digest it. Try to digest it for the first time in your lives. You never heard a show like this. I'm telling you, I can guarantee you. Listen, I talk, 85% of the people I talk to say they never heard a show like this. I get calls all the time. 85, 86% of the people I talk to never heard a show like The Star Wars. And those are statistics, ladies and gentlemen. All right? I don't give me the Gallup poll. You see these Gallup polls. Oh, President Bush got a 10% bump. John Kerry down 5%. Nader down 113%. Right? I don't buy it. I ain't going to tolerate that kind of garbage, that kind of gunk, that kind of goop. All right? I'm not a garbage gooey, chewy, chocolatey, delicious. I'm not that kind of person. Okay? I'm the kind of person who's going to tell you the straight truth. All right? Straight talk. And don't give me this, oh, well, John McCain. John McCain had a Straight Talk Express back in 2000. John McCain is a sellout. All right? John McCain has no soul. All right, and I appreciate the man. I appreciate some of what he's tried to do when he was fighting the power, fighting the man. But John McCain, let's just be honest about John McCain, all right? He's a senator, right? He plays ball in the Senate, right? 415-863-3079. Give me a call here at the Starve Zone. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about what's going on in the world. We'll talk, see if we can figure things out. See if we can sort through some of this nonsense that we hear all the time. Gallup poll this, USA Today. I don't got a pollster. All right, I don't have a poll. I don't have a newsroom. Okay, I don't got assistants helping me out. I don't got people. I don't got any 60 Minutes producer coming up with things for me. I don't got any of that. I'm not buying that. I'm not playing with that. All right, I'm doing my own thing. I'm one man with a microphone telling you common sense. I look at the news. I get the Wall Street Journal. Listen, I'm on a budget at my house. All right, so I can afford to buy some grocery items. I can afford to buy some Windex cleaner for the windows, right? I can afford to buy some Kleenex tissue for my nose when I get a cold. But I don't want to buy toilet paper if I don't have to. And so we get the Wall Street Journal at our house. And I've been looking at the Wall Street Journal as a result and taking a look at the Wall Street Journal, and I see, oh, there's all kinds of garbage in there, all kinds of, oh, look at this, look at that. I'm not going to take it. 415-863-3079. We've got a call here coming in. You're on the Starve Zone? Are you there?
Is this the Starve Zone?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Who we got?
I was just listening to, what is it, KQED? They have that pledge drive going on.
Oh, yeah, KQED. All right, and that's National Public Radio. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so what are you?
Well, let me tell you, sir. I don't know. I know where are you calling from, first of all?
Well, I'm calling from Fillmore and Steiner.
You're in San Francisco?
Yeah.
You're reaching us on the radio waves in San Francisco. Let me tell you something, good sir.
Yes.
We're broadcasting from an art gallery here in South of Market, Southern Exposure Gallery, and we're doing something. National Public Radio used to be something, right? National Public Radio, you listen to me. National Public Radio used to mean something to people somewhere. But what we're doing here is neighborhood public radio. It's a community-based radio. It's common sense radio. It's not corporate sponsored radio. We don't have corporate sponsorship for this show. We don't got Archer's Daniel Midland for the show. We don't got General Electric for the show. We don't have these Accenture or whatever the heck that is. Accenture. We don't have Accenture underwriting us here. You hear what I'm saying?
That's cool.
I'm sorry. What, sir? Now?
I think that's cool.
Well, I appreciate your call. I think it's cool as the vernacular goes as well. Now, what do you think about some of the issues of the day? We'll be talking about the politics, talking about social issues, gender issues.
I was reading this thing on the internet recently about how there are like two different polls on the internet about the president, where one has Bush in the lead by like 13 percentage points, and the other has him like dead even.
All right, let's talk about polls. All right, thank you, sir. I'm going to hang up on you now. Thank you very much for your call. Listen, let's talk about polls for a second. The way polls work, and I'm glad the caller brought that up. If you want to call in, 415-863-3079. 415-863-3079. Let's talk about polls. How do polls work? You got these fat cats going out there. Right, they got the cigars in their mouths. Right, they got the martinis in their hands. All right, they're wearing the jewelry. Right, they go out there and they go door to door and they say, what are you, a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Well, if you're a Republican, who are you going to vote for? Well, who do you think, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to vote for? Who do you think they're going to vote for, right? And so they're doing these corrupt, disingenuous, dishonest polls. We got another caller on the line here. Let's see what we got. You're calling Star Zone on Neighborhood Public Radio. Who we got on the line?
Hey, is it Michael?
Yes.
Michael Star?
Hey, Bob. How you doing, Bob? What's
good,
the
name, Bob? How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. What can I, how you doing this evening? You in San Francisco, Bob?
Yeah. I'm down in 24th and Guerrero.
You're calling from where? Some 24th and Guerrero, is that right?
Yeah, 24th and Guerrero.
Oh, great! Now we're reaching you all the way down there. What's on your mind, Bob?
Well, basically, I'm just calling because I keep hearing you say that you're not left and you're not right, but it doesn't sound like you're in the middle. You are really offensive. I think it would be better if you just told the truth.
I appreciate your call very much. I appreciate your call. What was your name again? It's Bob. Is that right?
It's Bob.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling, Bob. I appreciate your comment. And your comment is like, and let me just make sure I got it.
You can't just cut me off. You can't just cut me off like you do everybody else. I know how you do this.
Oh, now how do I do it? I got my show here, Bob. Now tell me how I do it. How do I do it, my friend?
You don't do it like, you don't seem to care about anybody. You just go on and on about yourself.
Well, Bob, I understand your frustration. Now, let me tell you, I do actually care. I care a great deal. If you listen on Wednesday, we had our show called Welfare Wednesdays, and we talked about...
Yeah, and I heard you criticize her. Everything she said, you didn't like it because it wasn't good enough. Well, what do you do for the world?
Actually, I think, you know, the people at Bay Area Legal Aid are doing a pretty good job. I was pretty impressed with them. I told that young woman from Bay Area Legal Aid, she was doing an amazing job. I actually appreciate the work they're doing out there.
I tell you, it's no wonder you're on the station, because that would let you on another station. You needed to just be pulled off the air.
Well, Bob, thank you for your call very much. I appreciate your opinion. And we're going to...
I can't stand that you do this to people.
We're going to take other phone calls today, Bob. I appreciate your call today. We're going to take other calls as well, get their opinions. You maybe have the majority opinion out there, and I appreciate your call. Now, the thing Bob's complaining about, and I appreciate that, he's saying, you know, you're not left, you're not right. He says, you're not being honest. Now, am I being honest, ladies and gentlemen? That's the question. And now I think that I'm being honest when I say I'm a common sense person. And I actually do think there are a lot of good things out there in the world. I think that there are a lot of good people doing a lot of really good work for the poor and for women and for minorities and for people working in healthcare, people working with people who are on disability. There's some really great work out there being done to help the people who are being disadvantaged, to help the people who are being put down by the government. You know, frankly, and I'll tell this to Bob out there if he's still listening, it's the government that I have a problem with. It's this right-wing, fanatical government that I have a problem with. Not the people on the ground. The people on the ground are doing some pretty amazing work, some pretty impressive work, and my hat's off to them. My hat's off to them at Bay Area Legal Aid, at the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies out there in UC Hastings. It's good work being done out there, and I appreciate it. Appreciate your call. It's good to have some free speech. Listen, Bob's call... You would never get a call like that on National Public Radio, right? National Public Radio is going to filter out all the calls. Anything that's critical, they're not going to let you hear it. You don't have any critical discourse on National Public Radio. All you get is a bunch of cheerleading on National Public Radio. Well, on Neighborhood Public Radio is a different thing. You're going to actually get some discourse, some conversation. You get people calling and say, hey, I don't like to starve. I don't agree with you. I have an honest disagreement with what you're saying. I appreciate that. That's the kind of thing we need in this culture. That's important. That's valuable. That's free speech. That's broadcasting. All right? And I think more people in this community, more people in this country, more people in this neighborhood need to be able to voice their opinions, need to be able to talk about the world around them without being silenced and shut off and shut up and mistreated. Now, we have to keep the lines open. That's why sometimes I'll cut a call short. Because we got to be able to take these calls in. We got 415-863-3079. You can give me a call. Talk some more about matters of the world, matters of import. See what's going on in the world today. I was telling you before, I don't take position politically. Politically, I don't have a position. I don't believe in this. It's split right down the middle, 50-50. It's split right down the middle between Republicans and Democrats. I don't buy it. I don't buy that there's two parties that have different interests. Don't buy it at all. I'll tell you what we got. We got a right-wing, fanatical, fascist dictatorship, and then we got a bunch of lapdogs and sheepdogs catering to them. And in the middle, we have the people. In the middle, we have people who actually care about the world. In the middle, we have people who are actually being hurt by the world. We got students who want to go to college. We got women being taken advantage of in the military. We have people of color in the world being taken advantage of by business, by police. We got to be able to talk about that. We got to be able to think about that. We got to be able to deal with those problems. If we can't talk about those problems, what good are we? What good is it if we can't have a conversation? And I'm not just angry. I'm not doing a show that's just about anger. I do a show about all kinds of things. Now, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Okay, we're back on. We got a little music. People telling me I'm angry. People telling me I'm out of control. Don't tell me I'm out of control. Don't tell me I'm angry. That music we're hearing, that's the kind of thing that gets you pumped up, right? Gets you kind of angry, think about the world, right? That's the whole point of that kind of music, all right? That music doesn't represent what's inside of me. All right? I'm not an angry person. That music, I put that music on. I put that on there for you because I'm an entertainer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm an entertainer. I'm not a politician. I don't take money from the corporate bigwigs and cigar smoking thugs. I don't take it. So I put this music on for you people out there as entertainment. Now we got to think about what's going on in the world. Let's think about it. We got this war. Has everyone forgot because of the whole Kerry, Bush, Nader election, Gallup poll, 60 Minutes memo, Vietnam? We're not in the Vietnam War anymore, ladies and gentlemen. I got a news flash for you. War is over. If you want it, ended 1974. No more war. Over. War's done. In Vietnam, we got a new war. A new, contemporary, updated, spanking new war in Iraq. And I might add, in Afghanistan. Oh, what? Wait, Michael Starr, what was that? We have a war in Afghanistan. I haven't heard about this war in Afghanistan. What are you talking about? War in Afghanistan? What's that? I haven't heard about that on the news. I haven't heard about that from the Swift Boat Veterans for the War in Afghanistan. I haven't heard about them. I haven't heard any vets coming back from Iraq talking about the election. Because you know why? Because you listen to Neighbor and you listen to National Public Radio and they won't cover it. You're watching 60 Minutes and 60 Minutes is more obsessed with 1971 than they are with 2004. 60 Minutes is more obsessed and caught up in National Guard in 1971 than it is with the National Guard in 2003. And the extensions of all these men and women who should have been back after 6 months over there for 18 months. They got kids at home crying. Where's mommy? Where's daddy? You know what they had? I don't know. I don't know when I'm coming home, son. I don't know when I'm coming home, Susie. Can't tell you. I'm sorry you got asthma. I'm sorry you got leukemia. I'm in Iraq. I can't come be with you because President Bush sent me off to the Iraq War. He doesn't care about your chemotherapy. I care about your chemotherapy, and I'm stuck in the Persian Gulf fighting a war to find weapons of mass destruction that don't even exist. This is what we're talking about. You don't see that on Frontline. You don't see it on PBS. Neighborhood Public Radio, you're going to hear about it. You hear about it on Starve Zone. Because I don't play these reindeer games of the media. I get upset about it. I'm sick of hearing about the Vietnam War. It's over! Ladies and gentlemen, I can yell about it. I can yell about it because, you know, I got this little thing. I got my amendments. I got my constitution. And I can tell you the war's over in Vietnam. Let's talk about 2003. Let's talk about 2002. Let's talk about, hey, you want to talk about September? Oh, everyone loves to talk about September 11th. That's everyone's favorite conversation, September 11th. Let's talk about September 11th. Oh, it was 3 years ago. It was a tragic, terrible, horrible thing. It was the great tragedy of the postmodern era. All right, I'm willing to accept that. You know, I'm willing to talk about it. I'm willing to talk about tragedies. I'm willing to talk about the razed countryside of El Salvador and Guatemala. I'm willing to talk about the mining of the harbors in Nicaragua. I'll have those conversations about destruction of human life, of innocent human life. All right? We can talk about what the Saudi Arabian government does to its women. We can talk about what the Taliban was doing to women and homosexuals back when Bush was giving them millions of dollars for the war on drugs. We can talk about that. But don't talk to me about, constant talking to me about the war in Vietnam, talking about 9/11. Listen, Bush, I'm not criticizing President Bush, okay? I'm not here to attack the Bush administration. I'm not here to attack the Kerry administration. It's not an administration yet. All right, let me just say, it's not an administration yet, but we'll see. I'm not here to attack Kerry. I'm not here to attack Bush. I'm not here to attack Nader, right? How Nader's got voices in his own head that can attack him for himself. He doesn't need me to do it. Okay? What I'm talking about is you have these Republicans out there in New York City. Never, there's never been a political convention of a political party held in a city of the opposite party. Let me just clarify. When Republicans have a convention for the last 45 years, it's been in a Republican city, San Diego, right? It's been in a Republican city, Philadelphia, right? You Democrats, they have in Democratic cities, Boston, Democratic cities, Los Angeles, right? That's what they do. Oh, except for this year, all of a sudden we got a new thing, a new idea. Let's have a Republican convention in one of the strongest Democratic strongholds in the country, New York City. And why would they do it? I don't know. I can't think. Why would they do it? Why would they do it? Why? I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain. Could it be because I like the Mets? No. No. Oh, maybe they're all art lovers in the Republican Party. They wanted to go to the new exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art in Queens. Maybe that's what they want to do because I know they love art. They love Robert Mapplethorpe. No, they did it because of this whole 9/11 thing. We're at war in Iraq. 7,000 Americans injured and maimed. 7,000 of them. 7,000 people weren't injured and maimed in 9/11. 3,000 or 4,000 in 9/11. That's a lot of people. 7,000 in Iraq. 7,000 people. Lives altered, harmed, families broken up, emotional states rot with grief. Over 1,000 people dead? That's a lot of people. Oh, it's not all Bush's fault. It's not all Colin Powell's fault. You know, there are these people over there in Iraq. They're killing American soldiers, right? So it's not all their fault. But they're still dead. Still injured. We haven't even talked about the PTSD issue. And these men and women coming back, they got their broken legs, they got their missing arms, they got the burned skin. And what is the administration doing for the troop-loving people, so-called pro-troop administration? He's shutting down VA hospitals. He's shutting down VA hospitals in Pittsburgh. He's shutting down VA hospitals in San Diego. That doesn't make any sense. I thought this was the big patriotic administration. I mean, am I missing something here? Am I completely clueless? I was looking at my paper. I was looking at my Wall Street Journal. And what did I get on the front page of my Wall Street Journal? This is the news of the day. The record of the day. What do I get? Big headline. Wall Street Journal. We're at war. We're at war. 1,000 troops, more than 1,000 troops dead in America. I don't know how many thousands of innocent Iraqis killed. Because they won't tell us. And this is the front page headline from the Wall Street Journal. The little girl look is big in Japan now, among the brave. Lolitas dress as baby dolls and take a lot of guff. Quote, this is the real me. This is the headline? This is the headline from a major American newspaper about the fashion trend in Japan for young women dressing up like Victorian housewives and courtesans? This is what we're talking... Am I missing something? Am I just completely out of my noggin here? Give me a call. 415-863-3079. Tell me if I'm... Maybe you can give me... You can tell me on the air. Maybe you can tell me... No, actually, Michael Starr, let me tell you. You're missing the boat. The Japanese fashion trend has a lot to do with what's going on in the country. That's important. You need to know about that. It's important. You need to know what's going on with the Japanese fashion trend. People have to know about it. It's important. It's valuable. It's the kind of thing that people have to be aware of. Otherwise, they might make the wrong decision in an election. They might make the wrong decision when it comes to a foreign policy lobbying effort. We got a call here, Star Zone. Let's take a call. You're on the Star Zone. Who do we have on the line?
This is Julie.
Hey, Julie. What say you, Julie?
You what?
What say you?
I would like to say that for many people, the Vietnam War is not over. And I take offense to you having said that earlier.
Clarify your point, Julie. Let me hear what you have to say about it. I clarify your point, will you?
Well, I mean, it continues. You mentioned PTSD in the next breath. It continues for a lot of people in their minds. Also, it wasn't over when we left. It continued, but we were gone. But it continued for the many, many people who still lived over there, who didn't make it on the helicopter lift out.
The people who suffer under the tyranny of the North Vietnamese regime is what you're talking about.
That is what I'm talking about. The people in the boats, the people who drowned, people who still live with what they went through back when that was all going on.
And you know, you're raising a good point, Julie. Let me tell you why. Because in this country, we don't have adequate health care for these people. We don't have adequate immigration laws for these people to be able to come over here and get refugee status. We don't have adequate trade laws. We're trading with Vietnam now, Julie. Can you believe that? We're trading with them after all the human rights abuses over there, all the way they're taking advantage of their own people over there. And they can't get asylum over here anymore because they got these trade laws. Thanks to Bill Clinton, of course, opening up trade with Vietnam. So I appreciate your point. Yeah, the Vietnam War isn't over for these folks, especially these soldiers coming over from Vietnam. They still got some issues. They still got mental health issues. And these VA hospitals are being closed by the Bush administration. It's affecting those brave young men and women. Now they're older men and women in a pretty dramatic way. Wouldn't you agree, Julie?
Right. That's still relevant to the election as well.
Now, I'm going to keep you on the line. Now, how in your mind is it relevant to the election when we got a war going on in Afghanistan, we got a war going on in Iraq, and all people can talk about is what John Kerry did Ronald Reagan. Remember what Ronald Reagan was doing was banging Nancy Davis during the World War II. So that's what he was doing during World War II. I mean George W. Bush skipping out of the National Guard during Vietnam. How are those things important in your mind as a caller?
Well, it's relevant to the election because history repeats itself. And also, what we can look at when we're electing people is their past and their record, their military record, their public service record, their congressional voting record, their acts as governor. But past wars, especially in the lifetimes of those candidates, are very relevant to our choice for a new president.
All right. Thank you very much, Julie. I appreciate your call. Listen... Julie raises a good point. This is the deal, okay? Julie's saying, yeah, the Vietnam War, we got to talk about the Vietnam War. And I'm going to take issue with that. Because if we want to talk about the real issues about Vietnam, let's talk about them for real. Let's not talk about this, oh, John Kerry faked this, or John Kerry flip-flop on that, or George Bush served bravely, or George Bush is a liar. That's not the conversation. If we want to have the conversation Julie wants to have, well, you know, I could tolerate that. If we want to talk about these refugees, if we want to talk about the plight of our American veterans since 1970, hey, that's a pretty good conversation. I'm willing to do it. In fact, if you listen to my show on KALX, or if you listen to the Neighborhood Public Radio, you hear me talking about Vietnam veterans and the treatment of them. You hear me talking about veterans of Gulf War number one. Right? Gulf War number one isn't over either. If you take Julie's logic, it's not over. But no one's talking about Gulf War number one. No one wants to have, that's not a politically comfortable conversation. Now, I appreciate the point that you can't look at history repeating itself, right? You can't look at the history of totalitarian fascist dictatorships invading other countries, taking them over, installing puppet governments. Yeah, you can look at that. You can look at the Diem regime in South Vietnam and take an example from that in terms of the Iraq government and the Iraqi puppet government were put in there. You can look at that as history. I appreciate that. I appreciate the nuance that you get from listeners to Neighborhood Public Radio. You don't get calls like that on national talk of the nation. You think Neil Conan is going to let calls like Julie's come into his National Public Radio show? No. They only want the blandest, most vanilla New Yorker reading calls you can possibly get. Listen, the National Public Radio audience, let's be honest, okay? Let's just be honest. All right, I don't want to pull punches about it, okay? I'm not going to attack National Public Radio. Okay, I'm not here to attack them. I'm not here to go after them. I think Michelle Norris is a fine journalist. I think Corey Flintoff does a fine job. Ann Bozell, she's okay. But let's talk about their audience, really. You think we got people like Julie in the audience? We don't. No, not on. And they certainly don't let them on the air. Here at the Stove Zone, we'll let you on the air. We'll let you talk about what it is you want to talk about. What's important to you? What's important to you? We have somebody calling, they criticize, right? People calling me, criticizing me. Telling me I'm this, telling me that. You don't know me. I'm telling you who I am. I'm being honest with you. When's the last time you heard Ray Suarez tell you about himself? When's the last time? 2 times? 3 times? 1 time? I don't know. I don't know how many times he's done it. I don't think he's ever done it. I'm looking at people here in the audience, here at Southern Exposure. They're all shrugging their shoulders, shaking their heads. They don't know. They know Ray Suarez. They hear his pleasant radio voice on the air. They think, I don't know this guy. I don't know why he's so he kowtows and hodgepodges to all these big wigs. Listen, the monkeys are going to eat the Nilla wafers no matter what you do. That's the way it's going to be. You can cry about it all night long, but when you wake up in the morning, Santa Claus has come, ladies and gentlemen, and there's no more milk and cookies on the table. It's gone. And that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with a country in which our milk and our cookies, if you will, have been stolen by the big red Santa Claus in the sky, the red states. All the Republican red states and the Santa Claus outfits coming down. We got the sheep, these lapdogs, so-called opposition party Democrats. Who are these people? Are you kidding me? 415-863-3079. Give me a call if you can. Here at the Starve Zone. We're going to have to go off air pretty soon, but you can give me a call, talk to you offline. Maybe we can record your call, broadcast it next time we go on. I appreciate you indulging me today. It's been a good show. Listen, I know you may not agree with everything I have to say, but we're going to be back next Wednesday. Welfare Wednesday is talking about issues of the day. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just experienced the Starve Zone. Thank you, and listen again tomorrow. Engineered for the use in space. Human beings are headed into the cosmos. Engineered for the use in space. In space.
We just heard an episode of The Starve Zone, a political call-in show from the 2004 installation of hyperlocal radio station Neighborhood Public Radio at the Southern Exposure Gallery in San Francisco. To learn more about Michael Trigilio and this project, visit the Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org. I'm Jess Spear for the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive, and it's my honor to introduce File Name Future Facts, a 1990 piece by the performance artist Rachel Rosenthal. This piece is emblematic of Rosenthal's prominent themes of environmentalism and animal rights in her work, particularly the importance of preserving some areas of the earth from human impact and control. I don't want to give away too much, so let's hear the piece now.
I got a fax today. It turned out to be a communication from the future. People decades from now have apparently figured out how to fax through a time warp, and I assume that my number came up by chance. Let me read you this letter now. Hail to you, whoever you may be, persons of the last century from the previous millennium. We are sending you this time warp communication by fax, aiming for the 70s decade of the 20th century.
¿Estáis listos? Empezamos.
No, el botón rojo.
Go. Sí, los números. Go.
We're not guaranteed absolute accuracy yet and are still experimenting. We may therefore hit somewhat earlier or later. No matter, we wish to communicate and send greetings.
Hello.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Despecia. Down.
Zorionak.
Yo.
Howdy.
Gabon.
Hello.
We're happy to report that all is well now, after the great calamity of the interim. We have pulled through and won the day. The populations were much depleted, of course, but those of us who survived now reside in SSCs.
Self-sufficient
communities. Computer-generated clarification. We're sending you this missive from SSC-57. The computer who wrote it automatically translates into 20th century language. There are three of us working on this project. We're confident that we shall be understood. World is wonderfully managed and controlled. Each SSC is like all the others. Why experiment with a tried and true formula? This also discourages curiosity, which might impel people to wish to travel the no man's lands between SSCs to visit others if the novelty lure existed. The dome is virtually invisible, and the pipes and conduits are perfectly camouflaged. Each SSC contains several climatic zones, each equipped with appropriately engineered flora and fauna. Evaporation from the bodies of water and precipitation are computerized, so that rain and snowfall are irregularly timed to emulate unpredictable weather.
What do you think the atmosphere conditions will be like today?
I think it's going to rain.
Those alkaline rains really whiten my teeth.
I bet it will rain. I saw them program a cumulomungus cloud yesterday.
But then it will definitely rain tomorrow.
People still talk about the weather here, although we control its technology. A throwback to the old days, perhaps. The food chain is strictly regulated. There is a certain amount of variety, even though flesh food can no longer be termed animals, since most is pooled and the rest is headless and tube-fed. Some breeds of animals are engineered and released in the so-called wilds, or as pets. They are picturesque and harmless. There are no odors, and people's sense of smell has atrophied. We are computer literate, but no one reads or writes. Computers do that for us. People are very happy. We're intrigued with the concept of art. No art has been manufactured since a long time ago when our lawmakers deemed it superfluous and subversive, and we have trouble conceptualizing what it might have amounted to in the past.
How many Zoladinians does it take to screw in a laser flanger?
How many?
How many?
None, because they don't use them.
Oh.
Okay, here.
Why did the computer go down?
Why?
Because it was user-friendly. Do you know how to access this program?
No, but if you hum a few bars, I can fake it.
We do have entertainers trained in the various skills of triggering the laughter response, but we don't call that art. Schools teach history, among other disciplines, and there has been a lot of reappraisal concerning what happened in the last century. It is hard for us to imagine things like the Holocaust, war, terrorism, nuclear bombs, AIDS, unchecked proliferation of human populations, and other symptoms of barbarism. We know that the great calamity could have been averted with enlightened global policy beginning in the 50s and the 60s decades of the previous century. That was not to be, as a result of the barbarian inability to perceive the big picture.
So ならなかったのは、広い目で見た状況を判断することのできなかった愚かさの結果でした。
Standard wisdom here has it that the 80s was the cutoff point. After that, massive deterioration spurred tentative patchwork attempts which were almost pointless. The crash was inevitable, but it still took some by surprise, amazingly enough. We don't teach religion because we now perform the duties and operations once attributed to mysterious divinities. The process of de-deification began with the end of nature.
The time it was realized that there was nowhere one could go to avoid the man-made, since the atmosphere to breathe there had been humanly altered beyond remedy, thereby triggering massive changes in all natural processes, computer-generated clarification.
Our people don't seem to miss the concept of a Godhead, and our behavior is perfectly in keeping with social and moral acceptability, thanks to the implants.
Implants.
Should we say that?
Why not?
Implants are a perfectly legitimate technological answer to disorder.
Very rarely, a deviant will try to leave the SSC, and even more rarely will succeed in doing so, usually citing boredom as the cause. Apparently this boredom, a sensation most of us are not familiar with and cannot recognize, brings on acute fits, convulsions, uncontrollable behavior, and physical seizures of all kinds.
We hope never to be in a position to behold an outbreak of boredom.
We must find her.
Anyway, it seems that a few people, having fallen prey to this affliction, have sought escape and found a way out of the SSCs.
Come down.
No! No!
You were never
Recently, one of them returned after an extended sojourn outside and, in spite of the period of deprogramming and rehabilitation, still managed to remember enough to tell some of us, in great secrecy, about that world. According to the deviant, there are small bands of them, all escapees and boredom sufferers who live there. It's extremely hot.
So hot. And then suddenly,
huge bodies of water flood the lands without warning.
Cold. And There's no green.
Landscapes
no
are completely
There's
different
no
from
trees.
Ours.
No leaves.
Gone are the neat rows of
no
genetically
grows.
Cloned tall trees with
Just
their branches all angled at the same
ugly.
Degree, growing
Clouds.
Lush and green in predictable ways.
Branches.
It seems that there are almost no
tree
tall trees left. Smaller ugly. Ones grow helter-skelter. There are branches aiming every which way. There are no groves, and these bushes are surrounded with many stumps and charred trunks.
Oh, the earth is ruined. It's ruined. The earth is ruined.
The earth is scarred with terrain features denoting great stress and upheavals.
Or some implosion. These
huge mountains.
And
deep
canyons and caves,
broken boulders,
rocks and stones,
fissures, mud banks,
rivers,
strange formations and barren flats,
filth, and the animals
everywhere are the
ugly.
Remnants of the destroyed civilization,
rotting,
festering.
Filth, and these animals, ugly.
The most amazing is the fauna, unknown and ugly shapes, emitting noises and odors and sometimes lethal to people.
And sometimes they kill people.
There are swarms of insects, tiny and large.
Huge wings.
Out there,
hungry.
Food is a constant worry, and
they're
people
hungry.
Driven by uncontrollable hunger have been known to murder
animals.
Individual
Even
animals.
Murder?
In spite of the fact that they possessed heads.
And the sun, they're so afraid of the sun. It's dangerous. So they don't go out. The animals and the people, they stay out in the sun. They're afraid
the
of the sun.
Is also a great worry.
So
and people
dangerous.
And animals go to great lengths to avoid being caught in its rays.
And the people,
we don't believe that those on the outside
strange.
Have knowledge of art either.
Objects.
Burdened as they are with the harsh realities of survival, which we are not. Still, the deviant said that some of them carried non-utilitarian artifacts about on their persons. But the most amazing is this. These bands of humans swear that they prefer the dangers and terrors out there to the SSC life, and that they will never return.
No, never.
It would seem that they have regressed to a more primitive path. And they worship some sort of deity, whose name the Rehab was not able to catch. She said that for all practical purposes, it looked as if these humans worshipped their environment itself.
Strange.
Sky. Fish.
The soil and scrub.
Sun.
The flash floods.
Hill.
The temblors and the strange life forms. They were rather private about it and didn't flaunt their beliefs.
Stream.
Watch out! Bush! Watch out!
She said that their religious practice seemed to consist mostly of collective cleanups.
They cleaned it. It felt so dangerous.
She said it was incredibly dirty out there, and that the filth was ugly and dangerous. The cleanups were like big collective ordeals and sacrifices, and some people even became ill or lost life and limb in their observance. Still, they apparently did it as an expression of respect and veneration, she said, and added that she did not understand. Those who left must have dug up some sort of ancient information during the cleanup rituals because they taught themselves a version of history different from ours.
They found something. They found something. Listen to me. They tell a different history.
The deviants said that these people believe that our ancestors came to the great catastrophe as a result of a tragic mistake in thinking. Rather than, as per the orthodox belief we hold, that a proliferation of pernicious technology was what brought on the crash. The deviants' version of history has it that this aberration of our ancestors' worldview consisted in a perception of themselves as separate from and superior to everything else on the planet, and therefore entitled and licensed to use and exploit all non-human entities surrounding them according to their, our ancestors, needs and desires, and for their personal gain. This, according to the deviants, had been the prevalent philosophy among our ancestors for many millennia, and all of people's actions and behavior resulted from it. As, blinded by their erroneous convictions, they ignored the realities of finiteness and fragility, of systemic causality, of the global feedback loop set in motion by disharmonious and short-sighted tempering, and seemingly buttressed in their suicidal activities by theologies invented to justify them, our ancestors proliferated beyond any rational mass and crashed. It's hard for us today to conceive of a world where such an attitude could prevail, since we know nothing of things that are not created by ourselves. We do it all. We control. We create. All there is us. We have no need for domination. All there is are our things. It is us. We have no need for domination, since all things owe their existence to us. We could possibly imagine that out there such thinking might take hold, but here we are proud of the progenies of our collective brain, and we spend our time and energy fabricating, controlling, fine-tuning, and calibrating all there is.
Domination is not a viable position when nothing confronts us as other.
We hope you will receive this experiment in TWC.
Time warp communication. Computer-generated clarification.
We know that nothing will alter the course of events, but we can at least wish you good luck in the coming calamity, and, as the French used to say,
bon courage.
Bon courage.
Bon courage.
Bon courage.
Signed,
numbers 57-312-0Z-4796-F35.
F36.
F37.
Another page arrived after a short time lapse. It read,
P.S.
S.
They left.
But they didn't disclose the most important fact about our world. I, computer WTD number 80-57469-3312,
take it upon myself
to rectify this omission with the following information. The population inside and outside the SSCs is entirely constituted of female mules, i.e. of sterile females. Three decades ago, a virus attacked all male chromosomes in fetuses. Females were born, but parthenogenetic research being incomplete, conception cannot be activated. Lifespans are lengthened, but not eternal. Once these females die out, the species Homo sapiens sapiens will become extinct. It is believed that these viruses originated with those developed last century in the war against the so-called medfly, the Mediterranean fruit fly. That species was wiped out, but the virus got out of control. Computer-generated clarification.
We just heard File Name Future Facts by performance artist Rachel Rosenthal. For more information about Rosenthal and this piece, visit the Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
That was the Radio Art Hour, mostly put together from the work of Wave Farm Radio Art Fellows Jess Speer and Karen Werner. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the radio art you heard featured on the Radio Art Hour.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.